in reading today's epistle, which is a section of the epistle of St. Paul that he wrote to the Romans. St. Paul couldn't make it to Rome as quickly as he had hoped to do in his missionary journeys. And so at one particular point, he wrote a letter to the Christian community in Rome and just sharing the faith with them and encouraging them and helping them in every particular way. In this time, or in this section of his epistle to the Romans, he writes about the points of baptism, the importance of what baptism is, a newness of life that comes, the innocence, the resurrection with Christ, and all the symbolism that comes with baptism. And in reading this section for the epistle a few days ago and preparing for today's sermon, it reminded me of things that we covered in my CCD classes about from April on till the end of them there. Those of adults who were with me in the CCD classes, you know, we were going through a variety of different topics as people asked us to go through. And then it just came that so many of them could be bunched together in a review of the teachings of the non-Catholic religions and some that are really strangely and wildly non-Catholic in every way. So we have the Protestants and others of those particular points. We had a chance to review many of those. And in reading this section of the epistle from St. Paul and what he is teaching about baptism here, the first thing that struck me is the Catholic teaching regarding baptism, what it means for us, and what it brings to us in our hearts and souls in every way, and then the Protestant concept of baptism, and really how either some accept it, some reject it, but they don't see the same thing, the same glory in baptism as St. Paul describes to the Romans in the epistle today and elsewhere in his epistles. And as the church has presented to us, the fathers of the church have taught about it for centuries. So I thought, well, at least I'm going to take one section, a little bit of what I talked about a few months ago in my class. It'll be review for those who came to class. For those who weren't in my class, I'll just give you an idea of some of the things that we do speak of in these CCD classes that I have and what they're there in particular to help assist you in the practice of your faith and so forth. Looking at what we understand from St. Paul's epistle to today, he's describing baptism as a burial into sin and then resurrection from that sin to a new life. Just like Jesus was buried in the tomb and died to sin, taking upon himself all the sins of the entire world and being dead as to the guilt of that sin before his heavenly Father and now rising up to a newness of life, with that glorified body to show to us that he had died to sin. Sin would have no more part in him in any way, and that he would live for the glory of his Father in every particular point. Well, he's God. We knew he had no sin with him in any point, but still, St. Paul's idea, the symbolism of baptism in that manner, gives us the understanding of what baptism is for us, or at least how it should be. In the early church, most of the baptisms were done by immersion, which means you were totally put into the water and then brought back out of the water. Now we can understand, looking at that, why St. Paul speaks of baptism in this way. He says that you are lowered down, just like you are being dead, like lowered into the ground, this time being lowered into the water, and you're completely submerged in the water and then brought back up. And there's a newness of life that comes from that. And then the symbolism is that death to sin, resurrection to Christ. Even if it was only with original sin, that has been forgiven. If we had personal sins, that is forgiven through baptism. And we have this opportunity now, after baptism, to rise to a new life of innocence. And it's that point, I think, that impressed the early Christians so much about baptism, the innocence of heart and soul. And for those who understand the importance of their baptism, it impresses them that way. There's one weakness that comes from those who are cradle Catholics compared to those who are converts. And here's the one weakness. And it's, if we want to call it this, it's the weakness of understanding the importance of baptism. When we're baptized as children, as babies, our parents bring us to the baptismal font. We're brought that way. We don't remember any of the circumstances. We're told of them. We see other baptisms later in life. We study. We understand the importance of baptism. But I don't think it has the full impression. For many it does, but not all. But the full impression that's there for our converts later on in life. what they have done in life and struggled and gone off in all kinds of different ways and places and things like that. Maybe have been in detours and lives of sin. And now they have the opportunity to have those sins wiped away completely. The slate is completely clean. There's an innocence of heart and soul at that point. The joy that comes to them after baptism is so great, and they appreciate that day of their baptism. I know many, many converts, they'll go back to celebrate the day of their baptism, and they want people to come enjoy, just like a birthday party or whatever it is, because it was on this day they became a child of God. In this day, they were dead to sin and living for God. On this day, everything, as far as God and the works of God, came to them, and they renounced sin completely. Yes, unfortunately, because of that, there's still weaknesses that are sin. Even though sins are forgiven, the weaknesses are not completely wiped away. There's still that concupiscence with it. But if we love the innocence that is there from baptism and work in every way to maintain that innocence all the entire times of our life, well, then the joy, the peace that comes from knowing that my sins are forgiven, I'm dead to sin and alive to God. Or St. Paul also uses the imagery of the old man, referring to the old man as someone who is in sin. And when I arise from baptism, I'm a new man in Christ. New because sin has been taken away. There's a love, there's a joy that fills my heart. And again, I see it more in converts who accept this particular point than I do cradle Catholics, who appreciate the fact of their baptism and what it means. The Church tries to stir us up to a love of our baptism, like, for example, at the Easter Vigil, that at the end of the Easter Vigil ceremonies and before we begin the Easter Vigil Mass, we have the renewal of our baptismal promises. We all stand, the Paschal, our candle in our hands with the Paschal fire there, and we renew our baptismal promises having spent Lent in a time of renewing of the sins in our lives, and now having witnessed and remembered the death of Christ for our sins, now we are determined, if we renew our baptismal promises, we will live a life for grace and rise to Christ in living that way and appreciate and love the innocence of heart and soul that comes to us as a result of baptism. Innocence, no sin. It's that innocence that brings true peace to heart and soul. It's that innocence from which true joy before God is found. When we have experienced that innocence in our lives through baptism, or understand it, if we've been cradle Catholics, understand it for what it means, and now we're determined to live it, if we should happen to slip, what is lost is peace, what is lost is joy. We appreciate, we understand innocence. It's a treasure that we will do everything in our power to maintain. But we also recognize, as St. Paul brings before the Romans today, that it's not enough to say, I have this baptismal innocence, I've been baptized, I'm a child of God, an heir of heaven. I've got to do things to live for that, to go forward in my life for God. As we reviewed last Sunday, speaking of parts of the Sermon on the Mount, and Christ's admonition, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. St. Paul is saying it today. You're to be alive to God. That means we can't just sit there and say, I've been baptized, I love innocence, and just think I can remain stagnant like that, and I'll appreciate God's grace every day as it should be. It won't work. We have to live. We've got to move. We have to do things. Renounce sin. Renounce temptations. Be on our care. Pray. Do all these particular things to show forward that I'm going to advance in holiness, be alive to God. This is the outline, a real brief outline from St. Paul's epistle of Catholic spirituality, of baptism, what it means for us, and that it can't just be something that is a stagnant grace in our hearts. It has to live. It has to grow. I have to prove that I'm a child of God, and I'm going to do everything I can not only to maintain this innocence, but in this innocence now, let that be like a fertile ground on which grace can grow. And I can be more of a child of God, stronger each day. It's some of these concepts that are missing in the non-Catholic, I sense. We studied some of these things with it about the points of justification, what it means to have your sins forgiven and be saved. For the most part, I'm saying just about every non-Catholic religion follows a particular point that man is hopelessly corrupted by sin. And understand, we're not talking about original sin, actual sin that we're committed, and on these particular points. What they're saying here is hopelessly corrupted by sin. There is still hope by the grace of God that you and I can come out of sin, that someone preparing for baptism can leave from that state of sin, be innocent, and live for God. Non-Catholics, it's not that way. They're hopelessly corrupted by sin. Well, the death of Jesus and the shedding of his blood, what is done for them is washed away, not their sins, but the guilt of them before God. They're still corrupted. They're still sinners. Oh, they know that they have God has done some things for them, and many people will live a good and holy life in appreciation for what they believe God has done for them in accepting them and Jesus dying for them. See, they have to accept that Jesus is their Savior. They must accept that in every way, this idea of being saved. It's a point of faith for them. It's built on, sometimes in some cases, an emotional life. But even in going through that, even in accepting Christ as their personal Savior, even going through baptism, which for many is merely a symbol of an entrance into a community or a fulfillment of a command from Christ, but not necessarily that it would take away sin itself. It just, I have to believe, then be baptized, and then I'll be saved. So it just goes along that pattern. But the notion of what baptism is and should mean, that it makes me a child of God and heir of heaven and completely wipes away my sin and brings me to innocence, is not part of their teaching. I am hopelessly corrupted, they tell me. Hopelessly corrupted, which means even though I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, what that means is that faith now allows me to have the cloak of Jesus and his goodness, and his blood is washed over me now and covers me from the anger of his Father. So when the Father looks down on me, even though I'm hopelessly corrupted, I'm so hopelessly filled with sin, when the Father looks down on me, all he sees is Jesus and his blood that has been shed for me. It masks from him, hides from him, these sins that I have committed, but not that they have gone away. The sense of innocence is not there. Oh, they have an emotional joy. Jesus died for me. He saved me. He has kept the anger of the Father from me. But that is far, far different from what you and I believe about baptism. It takes away sin, brings to us innocence, makes us children of God and heirs of heaven. Totally different concept here. A totally different way of living for God. A totally different way of understanding things by faith. The apostolic faith, what has come down to us in the teaching of the apostles, and made strong. Between Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and so many others, they corrupted that point. And they encourage people, maybe that's too strong of a word to say they encourage, but Luther's words are almost like an encouragement where he says, sin and sin boldly, but just believe more boldly still. Believe in Jesus. Believe in his death for you, that he masks you, that he saves you. Believe that. And before God, you will not have the guilt of the sins that you continued, because you're hopelessly corrupted. You can't help but sin. Just believe on Jesus, and then everything is fine. Personal inspirations are above any other belief system for them. No creed of any religion is more important than what they personally, by personal inspiration, by the Holy Ghost or whatever. No personal inspiration or no creed system can take away what they themselves believe in their own personal systems. So here's the difference then of baptism. As St. Paul is outlining it today, and you're thinking, do they really read this epistle, this section of St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, in the same way? They don't. We've explained to us here, baptism takes away sin. It gives us a wedding garment. Remember from before, where our Lord told the parable of the man that set up a wedding. People didn't come, they were invited, went to the highways and byways and brought in people so his wedding hall was filled so they could share in the joy of the wedding of his the sun. But there was one man who came in that did not have a wedding garment, and he was cast out. He knew better. Even he came from the highways and byways. He knew he was being invited to the wedding of the king. He should have been there properly dressed in the wedding garment, and he didn't. And so he was cast aside. You and I, when we meet God, must have on the wedding garment. Not some cloak, not some mask, that inside we're still making excuses for sin and saying, I can't help but sin. I just believe more, even though I sin. No, this wedding garment is something that's true and real. Baptism is not a matter of faith. You know, that if I believe about baptism and what is there, then that's what just strengthens my faith. Baptism doesn't do that. Baptism takes away sin, makes me a child of God, makes me an heir of heaven, brings me innocence. It is the pearl of great price that I seek after in every way. This innocence, this grace, this sanctifying grace, and I want it to increase in me more. That concept of grace, that concept of sin, that concept of advancing in grace is not found in the non-Catholic system of what justification and baptism are. And I just wonder, how can they read this epistle and other sections of St. Paul's epistle and say they're reading the same thing? Well, that's because of their personal inspiration. They won't have any church or any tradition that's come down truly from apostolic times and kept alive all the way through. They won't believe in that. Personal inspiration is more important. This is why care must be taken if you have any Protestant friends. Some people say they don't have any a lot of friends at work or at school or whatever, but they found it safer to be around Protestants, non-Catholics, because at least they have a faith. At least they have some kind of a moral code. Well, just in this one area, if these people you call that are friends you associate with, but do not have the same concept toward being a child of God, being truly Christian, you run the risk in being with them of having your whole faith perverted. And not trying to strive and maintain innocence of heart and soul, but just surrender to the idea, I'm corrupt, there's nothing I can do about it. I just have to believe. No, it's not just belief is enough. Christ has given us after baptism confession to make sure that sins are taken away so we can restore innocence. The whole concept of our life here is to live in innocence as children of God. For them, is to be saved by Jesus with this cloak masking my corruption, a corruption that will never disappear until I go to heaven. Two different ideas. And it's not a matter of semantics. And I hope some of people will say, well, I don't see the importance of it, Father. I just don't understand it. Then read the catechism. Study the catechism. Get to know these points. Because it is essential. If you believe as non-Catholics, then it's going to affect everything else in your do. The sacraments won't mean much. Coming to prayer and mass will not mean much to you. Maintaining innocence of soul, loving purity of heart and soul, will not mean anything to you. Simply because you've imbibed the notion of the non-Catholics. I'm corrupt and I can't help it. There's nothing I can do about it except believe. No. It's more than just belief that Jesus saved me. Jesus came and died but gave me the structure how I can be forgiven from sin and be innocent in life. Let's pray for that help today. We're in contact with people, like I said, work, school, neighbors, whatever, who believe these particular other things. If you try to explain it to them, they'll say, oh, no, you're wrong, because all Protestants believe mostly all of these particular things. Oh, it's only you, well, it's some modern Catholics that believe it too. It's only you small group right here, that believe something different. I don't care if we're a small group or not, it is still the apostolic teaching. And today we pray for that help, that we will always keep this faith strong and never change it. Never let us be influenced by people. Never say it's going to be safe for me to listen to the Protestant media, their radio stations, listen to their music, read their books as something safe for me. Because after all, they're, quote, Christian. They don't deserve the name of Christian if they don't follow Jesus Christ in every way, all of his teachings. And here is one. one teaching that they completely miss and corrupt. Let us pray this day that we maintain the purity of our faith, our love for innocence, in a way that no other religion does. God wants us to be His children, to have the heirs of heaven, to gain, to grow in grace, to appreciate this sanctifying grace and keep it strong in our lives every step of the way. This is what God calls you and I to in our vocation to baptism, to be strong with Him. Pray today. This is why we're singing the hymn, After Mass, Faith of Our Fathers. Pray today that this faith that has been strong for centuries will remain strong in us. And if it's strong in us, then we can start to point out to other people, no, you're wrong. You're missing these points of the Scriptures. Tie them all together and you'll see that your notion of this hopeless corruption of the individual, and all I have to do is just believe that Jesus died for me and everything else is fine, is not enough. That kind of belief system cannot replace baptism, cannot replace the love of the innocence of soul. It can't. We need to appreciate that and be ready to explain it to others, and in that way bring them to God in every way. So much here for us, so much set before us in these ways. Let's pray for that grace that we'll always appreciate what our baptism means for us and live as children of God as we should. Better and better each and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.